I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Najagli Ago.
In the headlines, government to start holding daily press briefings at Flagstaff House beginning Thursday. KPMG to meet Supreme Court and parties involved in 2012 election petition hearing today. Major Albert Donchebe assumes office today as GBC's Director General. President Uhuru Kenyatta says he will be vindicated in his trial at International Court of Justice, and U.S. doctor convicted of murder of three babies. But first, the summary with Najagli Ago.
Government says it will from this Thursday begin holding daily press briefings at the Flagstaff House in Accra. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Deputy Minister for Information and Media Relations, Phyllis Kwachi Ofosu, explained that the briefing, which will be addressed by the Minister for Information and Media Relations, will afford Ghanaians opportunity to have an insight into government activities. The international accounting and auditing firm KPMG will today meet the Supreme Court to set out modalities for their auditing assignment. The company's move follows its acceptance of the offer to audit the pin sheets delivered to the court by the petitioners. Radio Ghana's checks revealed that among things to be looked at include the duration and cost of the audit. Major Albert Donchebe will today begin his three-year term as Director General of the GBC. Major Donchebe was appointed yesterday by the National Media Commission in consultation with the President. And a Philadelphia doctor, Dr. Hermit Gosnell, aged 72, has been convicted of first-degree murders of three babies delivered and killed with seizures in late-term abortions. Reports say Dr. Gosnell performed thousands of abortions over a career spanning three decades. Prosecutors are seeking the death penalty for Mr. Gosnell.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news now in detail. Government has announced that it will hold daily press briefings at the Flagstaff House in Accra. The move forms part of efforts to deepen government's public engagement. The daily press briefings will start from Thursday, 16th May 2013 at 11 a.m. and reflect government's commitment to fulfilling the fourth pillar of the NDC 2012 manifesto, which promised transparent and accountable governance. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Deputy Minister for Information and Media Relations, Felix Kwachi Fosu, explained that the briefing, which will be addressed by the Minister for Information and Media Relations, will afford Ghanaians an opportunity to have an insight into government activities, policies and programs. He added that it will also create a platform where government will state its position on critical emerging national issues and offer clarifications on them where necessary. He said the press briefing will not be a substitute for the Meet the Press series. He spoke to Brighton Trauma.
During the 2012 election hearing campaign, the NDC produced a manifesto which was divided into four broad areas, which we also called pillars. One of those pillars was the running of a transparent and accountable government. And indeed, the world over, it has been established that one of the most effective ways of enhancing transparency and accountability in government is to have regular interaction with the citizens. In other words, governments open themselves up and allow for close scrutiny of its programs, policies, and activists. It also carries the citizenry along and gives them insights into exactly what government is doing with the mandate that it bestowed on it. And therefore, government has found it necessary to begin this press briefings on a daily basis in order to keep Ghanaians apprised of happenings in government. Government also expects that the opportunity will be used to address emerging issues of national concern. If there are any doubts or any issues that emerge during the day which require immediate clarification, government will seize the platform of this press briefing and address those in a manner that satisfies the curiosity or, if you like, cures the anxiety that would otherwise have been generated had these issues not been responded to.
Briefing the media on a daily basis, will this be feasible?
Of course it is. I'm sure you understand that government is like that on a daily basis. It does something. Government runs on a 24-hour basis, 365 days a year. And this is supposed to happen for 4 years. So there's not a single minute that government does not have something to do. And therefore, it is necessary to keep really well informed about government activities. Often, people express doubts or reservations about government's performance. It is perhaps because they do not get adequate information regarding what it is that government is doing on their behalf. And we believe that this briefing session would allow for that level of interest and participation of the citizenry in governance. It is also the surest way in to enhance transparency and accountability in government, because the media will be allowed to ask questions and seek clarification to any issue that may be bothering them or agitating the mind of the Ghanaian public.
Is this move a substitute for the Meet the Press series, or you do it side by side?
Well, it is important to appreciate that there is a clear distinction between the Meet the Press series and this particular press. The Meet the Press series has a narrower focus. It zooms in on the activities of specific sectors. And so you find that at periodic intervals, sector ministers come to the Information Ministry to brief the nation through pressmen about their sector-specific activities. And this is done for all sectors. This press briefing that will be carried out aims at keeping the citizenry informed about a broad range of issues concerning governance on a daily basis. Like I indicated to you earlier on, government is such that it runs consistently, and every now and then issues crop up that require explanation, and this would offer a platform for that to happen. But this would happen in conjunction, or this will happen irrespective of the media press series, which again is going to be restructured to ensure that it comes across in a manner that is beneficial to the citizenry as a whole.
That was Deputy Minister of Information and Media Relations Felix Kwachifusu talking to Brighton Trauma.
Vice President Pakwesi Misa Arthur has impressed upon the International Finance Corporation, IFC, of the World Bank to increase its financing portfolio in the country with a focus on small and medium enterprises. He asked the corporation to also invest in the domestic market to help broaden the base of the economy. Vice President Emisa Alpha said this when the Vice President of the IFC in charge of Sub-Saharan Africa, Jean-Philippe Prosper, together with officials of the World Bank, paid a courtesy call on him at the Flagstaff House in Accra. Seth Ayer reports.
Though Vice President Emisa Arthur acknowledged the support of IFC in the country's economic development over the years, he stressed the need to expand its financing to the private sector.
I seem to be happy that you've had something like 1.5 billion of project financing over a long period, and currently something like 700 million that's committed. I thought that because we need to create some fiscal space for government, we'll be doing a lot more with the private sector so that they can get into the infrastructure development. I think that that is something that we need to encourage. I think that we need also to encourage the domestic small medium enterprise. And since you're also involved in asset management, we need to be discussing it. We have started that some time ago, but we haven't seen fruition in the domestic bond market that gets local people to participate in the provision of infrastructure. We need to do that so that the economic development becomes broad-based. It doesn't become something that's left to a small portion of the people.
Mr. Philippe Prosper assured the government that the IFC will do more than it has so far done in the country. This is because Ghana is a key partner in the sub-region.
In 2004, we were doing $140 million a year of business for IFC as well. Last year, we did $4 billion, and this year we'll do between $4.5 and $5 billion in sub-Saharan Africa, which has become the second largest region for IFC after Latin America. Now, last year in Ghana, we did, including mobilizations or investors that we crowded in, we bought with us, we did $830 million in Ghana. I mean, Ghana was the second largest portfolio, you know, that we did. So basically, we do indeed, you're correct, we find in some of those large projects, but even those large projects, if you go down the value chain, we really try to reach a lot of SMEs too, in agribusiness. So indirectly, we make sure that we reach them.
Mr. Philippe Prosper assumed office in February this year and will also be responsible for Latin America and the Caribbean, Seth Ejia, reporting for Radio Ghana.
The president of the Ghana Chamber of Commerce, Seth Ejia, has called for greater collaboration between public and private sectors in developing businesses to enhance the growth of the economy. He also proposes the creation of industrial zones where all industries will be located. This, he said, will attract and boost investor confidence in the country. Mr. Ejia was speaking when he and his entourage paid a courtesy call on the Minister for Private Sector Development at the office of the president, Rashid Pelpo.
When we're having electricity challenges, we felt it's good to keep industry running than light in my house. If I don't have light in the house and the factory is running, at least those employed will just earn some living. But if the factories are not running, it will be difficult to let them get money. But because industry is scattered in the country, we cannot identify to say that, yes, we want this place light shouldn't go off. So we have proposed industrial zones, and we are working on it. Fortunately, we got support from Turkey. The Turkish Bank has made some offers and other things. We have challenges about getting land. Government should give us a land. They are ready to come in with the money to build an industrial zone where all industries will be. So if we say lights are going off, industry should have light to produce, to be able to create the needed money. And we need your support for us to bring it to fruition, our public sector. Honestly, I think it's getting better, but we want more. It looks as if the public sector, in addressing issues of private sector, things that they are doing us a favor. And public sector things that all the private sector in court are kalabule or they are in for nothing. But the private sector is the engine of growth of this country or every economy. So if we are not being supported by the public sector to be able to deliver and get results, then the economy will not grow. So we believe it's time we begin to engage with the public sector to know that we are all together to develop our nation, so that when we need any information or service, they will be ready and help us with those information that will help us for our businesses to grow. When the businesses are growing, definitely, we believe that we will expand, create the employment, and even when some of them retire, they can join us and come and share their rich experiences with us.
You heard the president of the Ghana Chamber of Commerce, Seth Ejia.
The Supreme Court was yesterday compelled to adjourn hearing of the presidential election petition prematurely to allow lawyers for the NDC and the petitioners to examine and cross-check some itemized list of pin sheets with same serial numbers. Lead counsel for the NDC, Chatuchi Kata, was continuing his cross-examination of the 2012 running mate of the presidential candidate of the NPP on the allegation of the use of pin sheets with the same serial numbers at different polling stations. But by the practice adopted by both sides, lawyers for the petitioners had to go through the list and cross-check them with the pin sheets before they are presented to the witness for cross-examination. Yesterday was the eighth day of Mr. Chikata's cross-examination. Bubukle Nugu and George Asikuri report.
On his eighth day of cross-examination, lead counsel for the NDC, Chatuchi Kata, focused his questions on the specific allegations of duplicate and triplicate serial numbers. It goes without saying that the use of duplicate serial numbers at different polling stations constitute the greatest chunk of the violations alleged by the petitioners. According to Dr. Baumia, the use of duplicate serial numbers was the vehicle which the Electoral Commission used to perpetrate the alleged fraud. He indicated that more than 70% of the other irregularities occurred at polling stations with duplicate serial numbers. Dr. Baumia also accused the Electoral Commission of being economical with the truth regarding its explanation for printing of pink sheet with duplicate serial numbers. Mr. Chikata, however, suggested to Dr. Baumia that serial numbers are not very relevant in identifying pink sheets and that the most important feature are the polling station names and codes, as well as the names of the presiding officers. Dr. Bawumia disagreed with him, saying that serial numbers are the only unique pre-embol security feature on the pink sheet.
So you see, Dr. Bawumia, when we give you a serial number from any exhibit which is in this category, you will be able to show where it is duplicated.
Yes, my lord.
Now, you have had the first list of 150 polling stations in respect of which the serial numbers are given.
Yes, my lord.
Now, you have identified the corresponding duplication, I believe, since you had the chance to go through. Have you done that?
I've done close to over 700.
Take the next serial number, 0011407.
Yes, my lord. This is for two polling stations, LA primary polling station code D014703, and a serial number of 0011407. The same serial number was also used in DA primary school community center, Supe, with a polling station code of D014704. Both of these polling stations share the same serial number, 11407.
Spokespersons of the two sides addressed the media after the hearing was adjourned. First, Gloria Kufu, who speaks for the NPP legal team.
The serial number is an important security feature on the pink sheet. Therefore, without it, security and integrity of the poll is breached. In one particular case, it was even used three times. Three polling stations, three code numbers, three different results. And that when that happens, you will find one polling station in one category and its counterpart will be found in another category. And for that reason, therefore, Mr. Chitata requested pairing of the serial numbers that have been used in different polling stations and in the different categories.
Victor Adaudu also speaks for the NDC legal team.
What Mr. Tatu Chitata in cross-examination will put across for everybody to know is that although we can have the same serial numbers, they are different polling stations. And if they are different polling stations, they have different numbers, and people who have gone to vote and validly vote through the process, their votes should not be nullified because we have the same serial numbers all over on the thing. She also brought out another point that yes, all political parties had agents whilst the ballot printing was going on. While the pink sheets were being printed, everybody was there. The parties had their representatives. Whilst the ballot papers were being sent to their destination, polling station party representatives were there.
It is expected that when the court resumes sitting, the two sides would have gone through a chunk, if not all, of the piles of pink sheet prepared by Mr. Chikata.
That report was by Bubu Klinogo and George Asikri.
Meanwhile, the international accounting and auditing firm KPMG has accepted the offer from the Supreme Court to audit the pink sheets delivered to the court by the petitioners. Officials from the firm are scheduled to meet the court to set out modalities for the assignment. Radio Ghana learns that high on the agenda will be how long and how much it will cost to undertake the audit.
And still at the Supreme Court, the NDC has filed a motion praying the court to order some three individuals to appear before it for cross-examination in the ongoing presidential election petition hearing. The three individuals are NPP MPs for Brekum East, Chumni Ama and Tanoso North, Frida Prempeh, and a presiding officer for Savlugu. According to a member of the NDC legal team, Victor Adaudu, the three have sworn affidavits claiming that the EC had cancelled results in some polling stations in their constituencies due to some violations alleged by the petitioners, and it is important for them to appear to answer questions. Here is another report by Bubu Klinogo and George Asikri.
Before the start of the hearing of the substantive petition, the court gave a directive that it shall adopt affidavit evidence. However, the main parties involved are allowed to give oral evidence during the course of the hearing. It is against this background that the vice presidential candidate of the NPP in the 2012 election, Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia, who happens to be the second petitioner, has been in the witness box giving evidence for the past 2 weeks. The court gave a caveat that any other persons, apart from the main parties, may give oral evidence if a compelling case is made for it. This is the opportunity the NDC appears to be taking advantage of in seeking to cross-examine the three individuals. Victor Kojoga Adaudu, speaks for the NDC legal team.
In the affidavit of Dr. Baumia, it was attached other affidavits by the Honorable MP for Tanosa Frida Prempe, the Bekum East, Honorable Nyama, and the presiding officer of the Sablugu, where it was heard that there was some skirmishes or some people were led to believe that they were tampering with the result. Those are the people who have also deposed that in their constituents some results were annulled. And we want to bring them because if you depose to something and we do not cross-examine on, it is deemed to be that. So we want to bring them, put them in their box, let them speak to the issue, whether they were there or they were told or what they knew about it. That's what I think the motion that has been filed for tomorrow. God willing, when the motion is moved, we will listen to it.
However, spokeswoman for the MPP legal team, Gloria Akufo, hinted that they are opposed to the motion and will raise objection when it is moved.
Bubu Kinogo and George Asikiri's report.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: government to start holding daily press briefings at Flagstaff House beginning Thursday. KPMG to meet Supreme Court and parties involved in 2012 election petition hearing today. Major Albert Don Chebe assumes office today as GBC's Director General. President Uhuru Kenyatta says he will be vindicated in his trial at International Court of Justice, and the U.S. doctor convicted of murder of three babies.
And moving on, work on Job 600, which will provide office accommodation for MPs, will be completed and handed over to government by the end of next month. Addressing the media during a familiarization tour of the facility, the Minister of Water Resources, Works and Housing, Alhaji Collins Dauda, tasked the contractors to double their efforts in order to meet the deadline. We bring you a report by Magdalene Mensah and Caleb Opong.
Addressing the media, the Minister of Water Resources, Works and Housing, Alhaji Collins Dauda, said though the contractor has promised to hand over the facility by next month, it will be without furnitures.
I don't have the technical ISP, but we have technical agency. The AESL has been commissioned to assess work left and to advise when work will be completed. But at least, even before the project commenced, some timelines were agreed upon. And as I said, I was told that work will be completed at the end of June, which has been confirmed here by the consultant. So we hold them to the end of June. At the end of June, we'll come back to see whether work is completed or not. If it's not completed, the next action will be taken. So you need to double your efforts to be able to meet the time. Government is looking up to taking over the building at the end of June.
Alhaji Dauda denied allegations that some parts of the facility is already deteriorating. The facility known as Job 600 does not only house the MP's offices, but has a clinic, banking halls, restaurant, gym, press gallery, a conference room, library, a mosque, and a church.
Magdalene Mensah and Caleb Opon filed that report.
The National Media Commission, NMC, in consultation with the President, has appointed Major Albert Don Chebe as Director General of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, GBC. A statement signed by the Executive Secretary, George Sapong, said the new Director General will serve a three-year term effective today, May 14. We bring you a profile of the new Director General.
Major Albert Don Chebe attended St. Augustine's College, Cape Coast, where he earned his ordinary level certificate, and to Tamale Secondary School for his advanced level certificate. He holds a Bachelor of Arts degree from the University of Ghana, Lagos, a Master's degree in English from the University of Manchester, UK, and a postgraduate diploma in Public Affairs from the Defense Information School, Indiana, USA. He is a lawyer and was called to the bar in 2003. Major Don Chebe's career spans various levels. First, as a lecturer in English at the University of Ghana, he served in the Directorate of Public Relations of the Ghana Armed Forces for 15 years. Major Don Chebe participated in 5 peacekeeping operations under the auspices of the United Nations. After a distinguished service, he retired voluntarily in 1999. He was appointed the Corporate Affairs Manager of the Ghana Brewers Limited. He later worked at the Ministry of Public Sector Reforms in 2005 as the communications consultant. He became the head of corporate communication and customer care at Ghana Telecom and Vodafone Ghana. He joined the Millennium Development Authority as Director, Community and Public Outreach in 2009. Until his appointment as Director General of GBC, Major Don Chebe was the Director, Corporate Planning and Communication at the Export Development and Agricultural Investment Fund. Major Don Chebe is the current President of the Institute of Public Relations Ghana and a member of the Ghana Bar Association.
You heard a profile of GBC's new Director General, Major Albert Don Chebe.
And still at the GBC, the newly appointed Director General, Major Albert Don Chebe, says is bringing on board an open-door policy to ensure that the corporation occupies its proper place in the corporate landscape of the country. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Major Don Chebe said he considers his appointment as a serious national assignment. He spoke to Bright in Charma.
Well, I feel humbled in a way, and at the same time, I look forward to this task, which I consider as a serious national assignment.
So what are you bringing on board as the new Director General?
Well, I am bringing a passionate, serious-minded person with a lot of experience. As you know, I have been a lecturer in a university. I have served in the Ghana Armed Forces for several years, and I've worked in the private sector in various industries, in the brewery industry, in the telecoms industry, and I've worked even in the development sector, precisely the Millennium Development Authority. And as you know, in my last job, I was Director of Corporate Planning at the Export Development Agric Investment Fund. So I believe I've put together experiences that could be very useful at the GBC.
The various directors, General, of the corporation have not been able to complete their tenure of office, partly due to agitation from workers. What pragmatic solutions are you bringing on board in order for workers on one side and the corporation on the other to have a win-win situation?
I believe one has to have an open door policy. One should open his ears and doors to all that is happening in GBC and all that one can hear from anywhere else. GBC is a very, very important national institution, and therefore it has several stakeholders. And I believe that it is in the interest of whoever is directing affairs at GBC to be open to all these stakeholders and be mindful that there are several interests that must be taken care of in discharging your responsibility as the chief servant of GBC.
Which department of GBC will you take a critical look at?
In fact, I don't want to overstep myself. I haven't stepped into GBC. I am not familiar with the departments of GBC. What I would say is that I will take my time to understand the workings of GBC, to get a good grip of the issues and challenges confronting the organization. And then I'll come out with my plan to enable this corporation occupy its proper place in the landscape of the country.
You heard the Director General of GBC, Major Albert Don Chebe, talking to Bright in Charma.
Some offices on the Cocoa Affairs Court premises have been broken into by some unknown persons. The offices are a judge's chamber of one of the circuit courts and the registry. The unknown persons who ransacked the rooms gained entry through the windows by cutting out the wire mesh. An attempt to break into a Second Circuit court, however, failed. A source close to Radio Ghana said it could not confirm if any items were stolen. It is, however, believed that whoever broke into the offices was after some court documents. The police have visited the scene and taken the necessary information, including fingerprints, to investigate the matter.
And in some foreign news, Kenya's new president, Uhuru Kenyatta, has denied charges of crimes against humanity and claims that he will be vindicated when he stands trial at the International Criminal Court, ICC. The charges relate to the deadly post-election violence between 2007 and 2008. He is due to go on trial at the ICC later in the year.
A Philadelphia doctor has been convicted on first-degree murders of three babies delivered and killed with scissors in late-term abortions. Dr. Hermit Gosnell, 72, was acquitted on another charge of killing a fourth baby who let out a whimper before he cut his neck. Prosecutors said he was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter of an adult patient who died of an overdose. Prosecutors are seeking the death penalty for Mr. Gosnell. He performed thousands of abortions over a career spanning 3 decades. Officials said his medical practice earned him about $1.8 million a year.
And now to end the news, the main points again. Governments will from this Thursday begin holding daily press briefings at the Flagstaff House in Accra. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Deputy Minister for Information and Media Relations, Felix Ofosu-Kwaching, explained that a briefing will afford Ghanaians opportunity to have an insight into government activities. The international accounting and auditing firm KPMG will today meet the Supreme Court to set out modalities for their auditing assignment. The company's move follows its acceptance of the offer to audit the pink sheets delivered to the court by the petitioners. Major Albert Donchebe will today begin his 3-year term as Director General of GBC. Major Donchebe was appointed yesterday by the National Media Commission in consultation with the President. And a Philadelphia doctor, Dr. Hemet Gosnell, aged 72, has been convicted of first-degree murders of 3 babies delivered and killed with seizures in late-term abortions. The news was presented by Naja Gliago
and Abraham Donko in Accra.